Terry, Executive Director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, is here to talk about the recent Creating Change conference that happened in Houston, Texas, and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Well, great. I'm so happy to be on with you.
Tell us a little bit about the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force.
We have been working for freedom and justice since 1973, and we are the organization that builds the grassroots power of the LGBT movement in order to take actions that improve people's lives and create change for the country.
How did you become involved with the task force?
Well, here's the funny thing. When I was 16 years old, coming out in Denver, Colorado, I used to go to the local women's bookstore, and I was starved for information, right? So I would get newspapers like Gay Community News, which is in Boston, and I would read about our community. And I was so drawn to this organization that seemed to be talking about the issues that no one else was talking about at the time. And it turned out that organization is the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. And so I ended up, long story short, running a national queer youth organization and became a colleague of the task force, trained at its youth leadership trainings in the 90s, and ended up working with the task force after being their consultant on a strategic plan a long time ago. And I was brought on as deputy executive director by Matt Foreman, my predecessor, and then almost 6 years ago became the executive director. So it has been a long and loving relationship that I've had with the task force.
Tell us about the 26th annual Creating Change conference that recently happened in Houston, Texas.
Well, first, I just have to give a big thank you to the people of Houston and the host committee and the co-chairs for the conference. It was an extraordinary conference, and it requires over 500 volunteers, and the host committee pulled it together and welcomed 4,000 people to Creating Change in Houston. So it was an extraordinary gathering, and one of the things that we have seen in the last number of years is the growth of the conference. This conference used to be, for many years, around, 1,800, 2,000 people. And it has grown for a number of reasons. One, more and more people are getting involved in LGBT work around the country, and in fact around the world. We often have visitors from other countries as well. But the other thing that's happening is that we at the task force believe that there are a broad range of issues that affect our lives. Immigrant rights, reproductive justice, economic justice, racial justice. And what's happening is that people who work in what are sometimes called allied movements, right, kind of our sister movements, reproductive justice, immigrant rights, are actually coming to the conference to do their cross-movement work. So we've seen extraordinary growth, and it creates an energy and a passion and an exchange of ideas and strategies that simply doesn't happen anywhere else in the movement.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in 2014?
Well, we've got a lot going on, right? And one of the things that I said in my remarks at Creating Change was the things that happened in 2013 for our community, the progress we made, showed that 2012 wasn't a fluke when we again made so much progress. And I think the same is going to happen in 2014. We are building on the progress that we have been working for decades. And so I think we're going to be seeing more of that. Certainly there are a number of states where marriage equality is in play in one way or another. We have some of the smartest legal minds in the entire country working on marriage equality. And we also have the best grassroots organizers in the country working on marriage equality. That is also true for non-discrimination. You know, one of the things that unfortunately I think gets overlooked sometimes, and perhaps ironically, is that while we are making progress on marriage equality, and don't get me wrong, we have got a long way to go. We've got 33 states still without marriage equality. There is still so much more we have to achieve in things as simple non-discrimination. There are still many states across the country who lack any non-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender people. In 33 states, you can be fired from your job just because you're transgender. So we have a long way to go. I think, you know, we're going to see progress in a number of states on issues that are of concern. The other thing, though, that I would like to see happen for our progress in equality in 2014 is that we start telling the stories of the many ways that we make progress, not solely a state bill or even a local bill passing or marriage equality in the state. There are hundreds and hundreds of acts of courage and progress that are happening every single day by LGBT people and our friends across the country that are moving us forward. So I like to see more visibility around those stories. But we as an organization will be spending a lot of time, as we have in the past, working on things like immigrant rights and fair pay, things that significantly affect our country and affect our community. And as LGBT people, they affect us and we must be involved. So we've long been involved in making sure that there is immigration reform that passes, that includes a path to citizenship for the over 11 million people in this country who need it, which includes many, many LGBT people.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Well, you know, it stems from a few places. My parents were very politically active in the progressive community, in politics, in grassroots politics, really going door to door, talking to people about issues that they cared about, and I grew up with that. I also grew up in a community that cared very much about racial justice in the 60s and 70s. And it really has been my life's work. I started out my activism and my advocacy working on issues that affect LGBT queer youth, as well as HIV and AIDS. In fact, at the same time, I was a member of ACT UP DC, and I was an AIDS lobbyist. So that also has informed my commitment, which is that there are many strategies that we have to engage in, grassroots organizing, legal strategies, sometimes taking to the streets, talking to decision makers, in order to achieve change. So I have truly devoted my life to equality and justice for LGBT people.
LGBTQ teens are four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
Well, first, as I said, I started my career after college actually working with and for LGBT young people. So sadly, these statistics have not changed since the late 80s, and it's something that we still need to address as a country. One of the things that has been inspiring is how many young people themselves have gotten involved in advocacy and in improving things in their schools and community. In fact, at our Creating Change conference, 30% of the people at our conference are under 25 years old. So I want to say that because I also want people to know there's incredible resiliency and incredible strength in young people. Having said that, there are so many young people in our community, so many teens who are really, really hurting, as you just talked about. You know, I talked about this in my remarks as well. I want to say that you are loved and we need you. And there are days where I know so many young people in this country are hurting and think that they may not be able to get through that day. And I want them to know that there are many of us out here, hundreds of thousands of people, who are with them. We want them to survive, and we want them to thrive. And fortunately, in many places across the country, there are ways to connect with other young people and youth service organizations across this country to provide community and support. But first and foremost, it's very basic. I want people to know that they're loved, and we need them, and we support them in doing whatever they can do to survive.
How can people get information about the task force?
Well, certainly going to our website, which is thetaskforce.org. We have a lot of resources up on the website, including some of the work that we're doing on the federal level, on the state level, on the local level. We have information for people who are advocating for change out of our research. For example, along with the National Center for Transgender Equality, we published a report called Injustice at Every Turn. And this is a report that has been and is increasingly used more by advocates around the country on looking at issues of discrimination for people who are transgender or gender variant, right, who also face discrimination. So there are a lot of resources there that people can use. Just pull off our website and get involved. There's also basic information on the issues affecting our communities. So that is thetaskforce.org.
What other projects is the task force working on now?
Well, it's going to be a busy year for us, that's for sure. It's going to be a busy year for our community. We have a couple of our organizers who have moved to Oregon, who will be partnering with Basic Rights Oregon and others working on marriage equality in the state of Oregon. We have organizers working in other states around the country specifically on non-discrimination, either protecting the progress that we have made in municipal non-discrimination laws. The other thing, though, is we also are looking at how we do our work. We know that we have got to, as a community, as a movement, and as an organization, build a bigger base of people with the skills and the talents and the experience to work on campaigns in our local community and make progress for LGBT people. So one of the things that we will be doing this year, we have something called our Online Organizing Academy. We have for years done both in-person trainings for grassroots activists and then have, over the last few years, built out an online training academy. It's like an activist university, if you will. And we are going to be looking to engage more people to increase their skills so that, you know, we're not the organization that comes in and tells people what they should be working on. We're the organization that says, hey, what's important to you? What's important to your community? What skills do you need and how can we help? So we'll be putting a lot of energy into that this year.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I would ask of people who are listening to this to think about what are the issues that they care about. Maybe if you're a parent and you're looking at how your sons or daughters are being treated in schools or looking at what forms you have to fill out. I'm a parent, so I know that a lot of forms I have to fill out sometimes say mother or father. Well, that's an act of change that can be taken. And so I would ask people to reflect on what are the acts of change? What change can I create that's going to make a difference? Maybe, you know, for my own community or for my own family, but for people who are yet to come. And I say that because one of our ways of thinking about how we do our work on behalf of the community is that we want people to feel whole. We don't want someone to have to be part of who they are on Tuesday and another part on Wednesday and yet another part on Thursday. You can't be a lesbian one day, a Latina the next, and a mom the third day. You are all of those things every day. And so I would ask people to think about, well, what do you care about and how can you start talking to other people about that and take some steps in your community to create change?
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
Well, I actually do. And I certainly, over the course of my many years in this movement, have seen some difficult times. So one of the things that gets me through, I mean, I should say there are two things. One is the people that I meet around the country and hearing their stories and talking with people, working shoulder to shoulder with people on change is always inspiring. So I look back on Creating Change and the 4,000 people who were there and are ready to create more change. That's very inspiring. But there's a story that probably a lot of people know. It's a Taoist fable, and it's about a farmer. And his son breaks his leg. And all of the neighbors say, oh, that's horrible news, horrible news. And he says, well, we'll see. And so soon the army comes to recruit the young men from the village to come serve in the army. And his son doesn't go into the army because he has broken his leg. And the point of the story is, you know, it depends. It depends on how you look at things, and you never know what's going to come next. So believe me, I've had some rough days and some dark days. We as a movement have had some dark days. But even when we have challenges, I can honestly say that every single time there is something that has come out of that challenge that ends up moving us forward. So as I like to say, we'll see.